Well, good morning, Green Valley. How are you this morning? Great to see all of you here. Glad you've joined us in person. Glad you've joined us online for those who are tuned in this morning. We're going to have a great time together this morning. Well, we're starting a new series today entitled Focus. Matter of fact, if when you came in today, if you had the opportunity, there are cards at each entrance that kind of tell you the direction we're headed. If you didn't get one on the way in, you can get one on the way out. But we're going to focus on four areas over these next weeks. And these are things that we're going to focus on as a church family. Moving forward, it's going to impact everything we do, from our programming to our schedule to our what happens in here to our budget, everything. These aren't new things. Maybe we're just going to kind of have tunnel vision about these things that God are on the heart of God that should be on our heart. And so if you didn't get the card, this is what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. First of all, each one of them talks about we are a movement. And if you've been around for a while, you know maybe what that means. But we are a movement because the church is a gathering, a congregation. It's not a building. It's not an institution. It's not a place. In Scripture, it's called a congregation or assembly. And so it's the idea of this group of people who have this common theme, followers of Jesus. And what are we doing? We're following, so we are what? We're moving. So we are a movement of Jesus followers. And each one of these things, we're a movement of Jesus followers that believe when you pray, things happen. We're a movement of Jesus followers that want to pursue racial unity. We're a movement of Jesus followers that refresh others with acts of kindness. And we are a movement of Jesus followers that have life-changing conversations. Now, what's going to happen over the next weeks is we're going to talk about each one of those. We're going to talk about ways that you can implement that in your personal life, in your group, but also what we can do corporately so we can see all these things come to fruition. Now, that's not going to happen in the next month. It's not going to happen in the next year. This is a long arc vision that we have for what God wants to do in us. But today, we're going to be talking about that we are a movement of Jesus followers that believe when we pray, things happen. That we believe when we pray, things happen. You know, when you begin to walk through Scripture, and this is not a study on prayer, I'll just go ahead and tell you up front. We're not going to study what prayer is about. I'm trying to encourage you to do something this morning. But when you walk through Scripture, you begin to see things like in 1 Kings 17, where Elijah prays that it won't rain, and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. You get over to Joshua chapter 10, and Joshua's in a battle, and he needs more time, and so he prays for the sun to stand still, and it does. And one of my favorites, as you just kind of walk through, is Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha is in a battle, and he's surrounded by the Arameans, and things don't look good, and his servant gets up and comes in one morning, and this is what he says in verse 15 and following. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he says, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? It doesn't look good. And then he goes on from there. It says, don't be afraid, Elisha answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. We just sang, sometimes we see a mountain, but God sees a mountain moved. What I understand from Scripture is this. It's that when people prayed, things happened. You say, what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know if your circumstances are going to change or this is going to change. I do know that we'll be changed. But things will happen. And so when you begin to kind of process this and you begin to walk through it, and that we are a movement of followers that believe that when we pray, things happen, and we understand this about life, that everybody in here believes certain things. Whatever you believe today, you know what you're doing. You're making decisions out of that belief system, and you're at destinations today. So everybody in life follows this pattern. You believe something, you think something, you decide, you make decisions, you act, and you end up at destinations. So if we believe prayer causes things to happen, then our action should be what? We ought to pray. I'm going to challenge you to do something today. If we believe things happen when we pray, then the first thing that we ought to do is pray. Now, everybody in here, whether you believe in God or not, is that you're a praying person. You say, well, no, I'm not. No, I just ain't got bad enough yet. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I love it in my life when I walk through life. Some of the people who hate this place the most, who have nothing to do with God, in my world, and I don't know what world I'm living in, but this is what happens. all the time. They know what I do, and they think I got some kind of red line to God. And people will say this and go, "Hey, man, could you throw one up to the big guy upstairs for me?" What are they doing? Somebody needs to pray. I know when that happens, something terrible is going on, right? And so we all pray. I don't want you to be a person who prays. I want you to be a praying person. It's a big difference. A person who prays just waiting for you to get bad enough. He's just a rabbit's foot for you. But a praying person prays. Not in a place, not in an institution, but it's a way and a thought process in life that says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I believe that when I pray, things happen. Not because of us, but because that's how God has decided to work. And so one of the challenges that I give you today, and as we walk through this, is I just want to challenge you to pray. You know, we've been trying to do this more and more as a church family. You're here about it today, but things have been going on. If you pay attention here, a couple years ago, we started P28, where we spend the entire month of February in prayer. Every Monday morning at 6 a.m., we gather here. It scares half of you to death. Because you're thinking, we're going to pray. What are we going to do? That's so weird. And then I challenge you every single day in the month of February at 1 o'clock to pray 1 minute about one thing. Every single day, the same thing. It's baby steps to you and I becoming not people who pray, but praying people. You've noticed, if you're paying attention, that over the last few months, we've had these things called prayer moments in the service. You notice that? Every once in a while, we'll stop. Either I or Brandon or Bubba or somebody else will walk out, and Todd has done it, McMitchin, and we have a theme, and we just pray scripture. We pray that theme over you. We're going to do it today in just a minute. But what we're trying to do is establish that we are a movement of Jesus followers that believe that when we pray, things happen. Very soon, I hope to have an opportunity for you to pray personally with somebody in this place when you come. Because when you come here, I think you should expect to pray and to be prayed for if you want to. We're going to create that. I look forward to the day very soon that people very early show up here, 30, 45 minutes before anybody else, and begin to walk all over this place and begin to pray about what's going to happen in here and in your group and in our children with our students. I did that this morning. My favorite time of the day, I'm here when it's still dark. And I love to come into this place that's still dark and just sit by myself and walk around. And I walked around this morning knowing that some of you would be here and began to pray for you. I won't tell you what I prayed for some of you. It'd scare you. But I say William and Tori Till. And I don't usually call people out. They're starting a life group for the first time next week. I knew they'd be sitting right there. I did. And so I just went around to places, prayed for Mr. Joe George today. He got a good report a couple weeks ago. We praise God for that, right, Mr. Joe? But imagine the day there's a whole bunch of you just walking around, because I don't know everybody here, and I don't know where everybody sits, but you just know people in your group, and people are walking around the parking lot. They're walking around checking in, and so that's going to happen soon. That every time we're in here doing what we do, there's going to be a group outside of here that's praying all over this place and everybody that's in here, and the life-changing decisions that are at hand. So that's what we want to do. We're creating a process now that you can share what's going on in your life, and somebody can respond to that immediately and pray for you, not just by filling out a connection card, not just by texting, but a prayer wall in a sense, in person and online, so you can say, hey, this is what's going on in my life, and this person over here can check that and go, I'm praying for that right now, and you know somebody's praying for it. So why would we do all that? Well, I think we're a movement of Jesus followers that believe things happen when we pray. And so I challenge you to pray. And so my question to you is this, is what role are you going to play in that? Would you be willing to pray for somebody? If we were to close this time of worship together and I said, listen, if something is on in your life, you want somebody to pray for you, you can just come forward, or you can go to this place, you can go to that place, would you be one of those people waiting on them? Would you show up 30 minutes early to walk all over this place and pray for people? Would you be willing to pray somewhere else while we do what we do in here? I don't know. If we believe as a movement of Jesus followers that when we pray, things happen, then the first thing we ought to pray is that we just pray. Second thing is this, is when you decide to make that decision and you take that step, that next step that takes you to the new place, and you're not just a person who prays, but you're a praying person. The second thing I'm going to ask you and challenge you to do is when you do pray, to pray big. To pray big. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read this. It says, "Now to him," that's who we're talking to, our Heavenly Father, "now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." What have you ever imagined? Have you ever thought of something, "Well, I'm scared to pray about that"? I think that's too big. That's too out there. Elijah prayed it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Joshua asked the sun to stand still. Elisha says, "Open this guy's eyes so he can see reality, and there are chariots of fire." What is it that God goes, "Whew, that's out of my zip code"? I talk to people all the time and say, and when they tell me what's going on in their life, I go, "You're over my head." And you don't have to be very high to be over my head. Do you know that God, when you talk to him, he never goes, "I'm going to need to refer you"? "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask." So everything you've asked, he's like, "I can do that." And everything you've ever imagined that you've been afraid to tell somebody. You see, when Jesus was talking about prayer, I think the reason he wanted us to pray big, and he says, listen, when you pray, and when Jesus says this is how you ought to do it, I think we ought to follow. In Matthew chapter 6, and what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is just telling us how to pray. And my favorite part is verse 9. It says, "This then is how you should pray." We're just going to do one verse. "Our Father in heaven." That's my favorite part. He says that when you pray, you ought to pray big, because there's two things in that line that you need to get. When you're talking to God, he says, just call him Dad. What is it on your heart that you think Dad's not interested in? And he says, when you're talking to Dad in heaven, what is it on your heart that you think, that's just too big for me? And so what he's simply trying to remind us when he says, hey, when you pray, just start with, hey, our Father in heaven, he's reminding you that God loves you, that God is for you, and God can. And the more time you spend on that first line, the willingness that you have to be patient there and realize who you're talking to, it will impact every part of your life. So many times we run past that part and I got to get to my list. Do you know what's going on in my life? But the change that's going to happen in your life, it happens right there. Our Father in heaven. And the more time we realize who we're talking to, I think the bigger we will pray. Ask yourself this question. If everything you prayed for in the last year came true, what would have changed? Well, you arrived safely. That's good. What would have changed? Would it have all happened anyway? I don't know if God's just trying to jerk my chain, but it seems like every time I get into that prayer mode going, Lord, just protect us and give us this and give us that. And I feel like God's always saying, well, just put your seatbelt on, drive the speed limit. Has he ever talked to you like that? He's telling you spiritual things. That's the messages I'm getting from him. He's going, what do you want to talk to me about? What have you imagined? And so my challenge to you today is not only to pray, but to pray big. Third thing is this, is to pray specifically. Are you scared to pray specifically? Isn't that a little scary to go, I'm gonna write this down, because specific prayers has what? Specific answers. And I think God calls us to pray specifically because he wants us to understand that he answers specifically. And so that you will know, and your children will know, and your children's children will know that God is real, that God loves you, that he's for you, that he hears you, and he answers you, and he can. And when you pray specifically and somebody says, hey, listen, what has God answered in your life? You got something to tell them. You got something to tell them. And so he says, pray and pray big and pray specifically. But also I think he would have us today to pray expectantly. You ever pray and go, walk out and go, that's never going to happen. To pray expectantly. To pray with an attitude that says, I'm willing to wait. There's a great story in the book of Acts where Peter has been arrested. Some of the followers of Jesus have been arrested. One's already been executed. And Peter is about to stand trial before King Herod. And so as he's about ready to stand trial, they gather together, the church, the movement, and they begin to pray for Peter. In Acts chapter 12, and it's just a fascinating passage when you think about it. It says in verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. If you read in Scripture, he's about to stand trial the next day, and Peter is chained, with two guards, one on each side, and there are two guards at the door. And an angel comes in and loosens his shackles and says, get up. And they walk out. And my favorite part is he walks down the street with him for a little while, and then suddenly the angel is gone. And so this is what it says. Now remember, they're praying for him. They got prayer meeting going on. And they got the prayer list, and they're praying for everybody's gallbladder and everything else. But then they're praying for Peter. And verse 12 says, when this had dawned on him, Peter, that I'm not in jail anymore, and the shackles are gone, and somebody got me out. It says, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. See, I think they thought that when they prayed, things would happen. I love this. And Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. And don't you know she's hearing about this in heaven even today. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. They left him there. It gets better. It says, I want you, how many of you are Rhoda and how many of you this person? In verse 15, it says, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind, they told her, and when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, hello? And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. The believers could not believe that God had answered their prayer so directly, dramatically, and specifically. Would you be shocked? You see, I think he's simply trying to tell us, I want you to have the attitude to expect to hear from me. You say, what's he going to do? I don't know. That's not the point. It's not about him. It's about you. And it's about me. Because when you're expectant, you respond a particular way. You think Rhoda was changed? You think she told that story? Y'all, we were having a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and y'all know we were going through, and I slept through half of it because they got off on a tangent. Because that's what they do at prayer meeting. And then suddenly, there was a knock. You think she prayed expectantly from then on? Has God ever answered a prayer for you? Do you pray expectantly? Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. He says, I think you ought to pray. You ought to pray big. You ought to pray specifically. You ought to pray expectantly. If you're going to pray expectantly, and this is where we get in trouble, you got to pray by being still. And that's where we got a problem. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So you're going to pray for a safe trip this afternoon. You're going to pray God looks over your kids and does this and does that because you're not willing to be still and to imagine what he wants you to pray. Because the greatest prayer he wants you to pray today and the greatest prayer he wants you to hear today doesn't start with you. It starts with him. but you'll never hear it until you can be still. Until you're willing to come before him and just simply go, I got nothing to say. When's the last time? Because, you know, when I pray, I don't know about y'all, you do your own prayer talk when you get a chance. When I pray, I got to get to my list. And so when I got to get to my list, I rush right past who I'm talking to. I rush right past being still. And every once in a while, I hear old dad go, shh. I got something to say. If we're going to be a movement of Jesus followers that believe when we pray, things happen, and this is hard in this culture, we got to learn to be still. You know, when we have our P28s in February, and we're going to do more of these, you know, if you've been here, we sing a couple songs and we have a great time. And then for 20 minutes, there's some music playing in the background. It's just silence. And I have to be honest with you, this is not very pastoral, but it's rather comical. Because in our world of it's just hard for us to be still, isn't it? It's just hard for us to breathe. And that's the greatest part of that moment, is just to simply go, what would I tell God for 20 minutes? Don't tell him anything. Just be quiet. He's got a lot to say. Be still. Be still. Be still. And so pray, and pray big, and pray specifically, and pray expectantly, but pray by being still. And then finally, I want you to pray Scripture. If we're going to be a movement of Jesus followers that believe when we pray, things happen, I want us to pray Scripture. You've seen us do this. We're about to do it. We're about to do it right now. But I want you to do it personally, and we're going to do it corporately as a church. We're going to pray Scripture. You ever do that? Because a lot of times, part of the intimidating part of prayer is going, what am I going to say? Pray Scripture. Pray Scripture. Pray Scripture. Psalm 100, we read these verses. Are you ready to do it? We're going into a time of prayer right now. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I wonder today if you just take 15 seconds right now and say, thank you, God. He says right there, give thanks to him. Just pause right now, right where you're at. You're online, you're in your den. Well, what are you going to thank him for today? He says, thank him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. I want us to take just a minute. You need to tell God how good he is today. Is he good? Huh? Amen. Can you tell him how good he's been to you? Thank you, God, for being so good to me. Thank you, God, for being so good. His love endures, what? Forever. Would you thank him today that he loves you? You thank him today that there's nothing you can do that will ever change his love for you. He can never love you any more than he does today, and he can never love you any less. Would you thank him for that? You thank him. And would you thank him today that his faithfulness endures through all generations? Thank you, God, you're never going to walk out on me. You're never going to leave me. You're never going to fail me. You'll always be here.